Daddy.
Didn't we just play Bruce Hornsby a couple of days ago because it was his birthday, and I thought this was the song from Chariots of Fire?
Yes.
What movie was it from?
Chariots. This wasn't in a movie.
But
you were thinking of the song by Vangelis.
Okay. Well, either way, I aim to please. So, Mr. Day, there you go. Per you, there's your Bruce Hornsby and the range. Politics, left, right, center, Republican, Elgin McArdle. I can't get rid of her. It's my birthday, and I can't even get rid of her. She's still in the studio here with me. We're talking again about this judge. Well, here's the thing. We've had two judges now blocking the Biden vaccine mandate for healthcare workers. The first did it in 10 states. The second one, just yesterday, doing it nationwide. Joining right now is Dr. Mina Bose, Executive Dean for Public Policy, Public Service Programs, Hofstra University. Doctor, what do you make of both of these judges going against the administration?
Well, good morning. Thank you for having me. I think we're seeing a real question here about what the extent of federal power can be with vaccine mandates. We know the Biden administration certainly knew that they couldn't impose an overall mandate, that vaccines are traditionally a power left to the states, but because of the emergency circumstances of the pandemic, the administration said that this was permittable in nursing facilities that get Medicare and Medicaid funding and in businesses with more than 100 people. As you just said, an appeals court has stalled the business one, which was under the OSHA ruling, and a district court judge just did the one in Missouri, did the one that the 10 states had filed. We have to see how this plays out. I think the Biden administration may need to have an alternative strategy. Now, it's possible if these cases go through, as they go through the appeals process, that the decisions will be overturned or modified in some way. But I think the administration may need a plan B, if you will.
What do you make of what the judge said in the most recent ruling? And I'm talking about the federal judge in Louisiana, Judge Terry Doughty. So what he said, if the executive branch is allowed to undermine the power of the legislative branch to make laws, two of the three powers conferred by our Constitution would be in the same hands. If human nature and history teach anything, it is that civil liberties face grave risks when governments proclaim indefinite states of emergency. During a pandemic such as this one, it's even more important to safeguard the separation of powers set forth in our Constitution to avoid erosion of our liberties.
I think the judge has laid out a fairly clear statement in favor of states making decisions and that this was overreached by the federal government. We've seen this tension in the past. I mean, just if we go back to the 19th century and cases where, the infamous Dred Scott case, right, where the Supreme Court didn't intervene in over the question of slavery. Obviously, that the Civil War and ultimately the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments addressed that issue. We've looked at questions over the right of the federal government to set a minimum wage, working hours. I think that this is something that can be that needs to be adjudicated, and there are several. The Biden administration has argued strongly that this is within the federal government's power. The Justice Department has made that case. Again, it needs to go forward. The district judge is not the final say. If there's any final say, it would be an amendment to the Constitution. But let me just be clear. We're far from something like that.
Talking to Dr. Mina Bose right now, Doctor. I'm going to give a little bit of your background before I ask you this next question. So you're the author of Shaping and Signaling Presidential Policy, The National Security Decision-Making of Eisenhower and Kennedy. You're the editor of several volumes in Presidential Studies. You're the author of the American Government Institutions and Policies textbook and The Paradoxes of the American Presidency. So in other words, you have spent your life studying American presidents and their administrations. So let me ask you, in your professional opinion, did the Biden administration overstep their authority issuing these vaccine mandates?
But it seemed to me when both of those mandates were issued this fall, right, in September, that the Justice Department had made a strong case. Now, and given the emergency conditions of the coronavirus pandemic. That said, I have to say, I mean, I tend not to kind of comment on court decisions per se to say whether they're good or bad unless there's something, you know, particularly egregious. I don't know. If you look at Plessy versus Ferguson, right, mm-hmm. separate but equal, right, that decision is widely, right, almost, I would say universally in disrepute today and was overturned by Brown v. Board of Education. The decision that approved FDR's decision to send 100,000 Japanese Americans to internment camps during World War II, largely rejected by most judicial scholars today. I can't, it's hard for me to say, frankly, where this will turn out. But what I will say is that the balance of power between the national government and the states at this point in American politics appears to be tilting very strongly to the states, given their reaction and limited congressional action, partly because of divided government, and the courts. So I won't say the decision is good or bad. I would just say that you talked about signaling. I thought you were going to ask me about the Biden administration's communication strategy. I think the Biden administration needs a two-pronged strategy now to address the how to combat the pandemic, particularly as we deal with the latest variant.
Well, let's go with that. I mean, what do you think they've failed at, and what do you think they need to do?
Well, you know, I think the Biden administration has done a lot of work. The last administration ended in the assault on the Capitol on January 6th was a horrific conclusion to what was a chaotic presidency at best. So I think the Biden administration came in and tried to kind of putting some calm and judiciousness into governance was very important. And I think that the pandemic relief package in the spring, the infrastructure package, have both been important investments in the economy. I do think there's a question of messaging. The fact that boosters, we've gone from saying boosters were recommended to now for people with special conditions, health conditions, now that everyone should go through, get one, it's changing so quickly. And the messaging on the vaccine, that the vaccine will make it less likely that you won't go into a hospital, but that you could still get the virus. Well, what does that mean for us? What does that mean for our daily lives? What purpose does continuing to have masks serve? I think there's kind of a strategy here that appears to be changing as events, responding to events on the ground. It's a little bit like what we saw with the withdrawal in Afghanistan, and that's problematic. It seems like the administration is more on defense than offense in explaining its policy.
Okay, let me ask you this. If you say the last presidency was chaotic, and I guess some of that could be Trump and some of that could be the left that just had an absolute head-spinning exorcist moment over everything he did, where is Biden right now as far as how will he be judged? Because me personally, I think in less than a year, he's got to go down as the worst president of all time. I mean, you take a look at Afghanistan, that was an absolute failure on every end. You take a look at the border, absolute failure on every end. You're kicking people out of jobs over a virus with a 99% survival rate. The bumbling, the stumbling, the being protected, not answering the media, the back and forth. Now he's banning travel from Africa when he called Trump a xenophobe and a racist for, in essence, doing the same thing. This guy's been an abject failure.
Well, I mean, we could go into this in a lot more detail, but no, I think the Biden administration, the communication on the withdrawal was flawed, and certainly the problems with the difficulty of the quick fall of the government as the U.S. forces began to withdraw should have been anticipated and should have been present. But Biden's decision to get U.S. forces out has strong support in the public. And, of course, it was a Republican president, George W. Bush, who sent U.S. forces to Afghanistan after 9/11 and then went on to the invasion of Iraq and kind of kept the nation at war without any kind of clear direction as to when that would end. So I think to put that on Biden, I think is unfair. I think that Biden's distribution of the vaccine has been very effective in the spring. And I think, frankly, when we look at the last president, that Donald Trump refused to accept the presidential election results. We've never seen that before in American history.
We saw that with Hillary Clinton. We saw that with Al Gore.
No,
she
conceded. Oh. And Al Gore announced Bush's victory in the Senate in January 2001.
Well, listen, I mean, here's the thing. Here's the thing, Doctor. when you've got goalposts being moved, when you've got a pandemic being used, when you had Fauci at the time saying, hey, there's no, you know, everybody wants to listen to Fauci on the left now and Democrats. But when he was back there saying, no, there's no problem going to the polls, yet you've got dates being moved and all of a sudden all this mail-in voting and all this chaos. I mean, there's a lot of people who feel that there was a lot of shenanigans with that. Maybe not to the point of changing votes, but there was a lot of I'll just say, garbage going on there that you have millions of Americans still doubting our voting process.
No, I mean, I have to say, we started this by talking about the courts and Judge Doty's decision. There were dozens of court filings about none of them were upheld in Pennsylvania, in Wisconsin, in Michigan, any challenges to the vote count. So if you have confidence in the judicial system with the pushback on the vaccine mandate, then there should be confidence in the judicial system for saying that all of those charges for a voter fraud were unfounded.
You're not listening to me. I didn't say votes were changed. I said time limits were pushed, deadlines were pushed, and the way we went about voting was changed because of a pandemic that you had the guy, the top infectious disease doctor, saying it's okay to go to the polls, but yet you had Democrats and Democratic governors saying, oh, no, it's not. COVID, mail it all in. And by the way, if you don't get it in by this deadline, we're going to push the deadline. So that ticked a lot of people off. Go ahead.
Well, you also had a president who called the Georgia Secretary of State. And first of all, I wouldn't say that there were shenanigans. There were kind of some carefully thought out decisions by judges to permit extensions of time in some cases. And the Pennsylvania case, I think, is the main one. And there were others. But in Georgia, Trump, as president, called the Georgia Secretary of State and basically asked him to look for 11,000 votes to ensure he would win Georgia.
I'm not saying what Trump did was the right thing to do in a lot of cases. I'm just saying there are millions of Americans who feel that there were a lot of things that went down because of the pandemic that were not that were just simply not right. But if we go back to Biden, you know, with withdrawing from Afghanistan, any moron knows you don't take the military out first. I mean, we could sit here and debate whether or not we should be there or not. I think we should still be there because we see what it's turning into now, which everybody said it was going to turn into, including his generals. But anybody with any sense knows you don't take your military out first before you get all the other people out. Anybody.
Well,
but yet he did.
Well, this was a decision that was initially made by his predecessor, of course.
He wanted to come out. He wanted our troops out, and I disagreed with Trump's stance on that too. But he never would have taken the military out first. You get the citizens out first, then you take the military out. I mean,
we don't know that. I mean, that's a hypothetical as to what Trump would have done by any stretch of the imagination.
So we know what Biden did, and it was an absolute failure. Well, can we agree on that?
No, I would say that the process was the implementation was flawed, but the decision was consistent with what his predecessor was.
He's responsible.
And if you disagree,
he's the guy.
I've heard others say that we should still have troops there. That is certainly not consistent with what public opinion is in the United States.
Yeah, well, public opinion in the United States right now, I think, is pretty much insane. Doctor, thanks for your time.
I enjoyed talking with you. Hope to continue. Well, more to talk about.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
You.
Speaking of insane, I need a break.
She died easy of a broken heart disease. As I listen through the cemetery trees.
News Radio 1170 WWVA.
Listen to the latest episode of The CEO You Should Know, a podcast from iHeartMedia Wheeling, featuring Todd Cover, the president and CEO of Belmont Savings Bank.
People feel free to come talk to me, no matter what position they have in the bank. You know, if they have something on their mind, I have an open door policy. I don't want people to think like I'm this unapproachable CEO. I want them to think of me as just a coworker, not really a CEO.
The CEO You Should Know can be found on newsradio1170.com or on the free iHeartRadio app by searching CEO You Should Know Wheeling.
You, your grandpa, your neighbor, your mailman, your doctor, and hundreds of thousands of other people have bought vehicles from Straub Automotive. Now it's your turn to sell us your car. We pay the most for used cars because we sell more used cars. Stop by any of the 6 Straub Automotive dealerships or visit us online at drivestraub.com for a better way to sell your car. Receive a no-hassle instant offer and an instant payment. Be the first of many to sell your car at Straub Automotive. Drive smart. Drive Straub.
With all the madness in Washington, Senator Manchin never stops fighting for West Virginia. He's protecting workers and our families. Senator Manchin, thank you for fighting against higher taxes and inflation. Gas and groceries are expensive enough. Call Senator Joe Manchin and thank him for fighting for us and opposing bills that will raise prices for West Virginia families. And ask him to never stop fighting for West Virginia. Paid for by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and supported by the West Virginia Chamber of Commerce.
Epic Restoration of Martins Ferry. This is a full-service restoration company. I'm talking water, fire, smoke, mold, or sewer damage. 24-7 emergency service to Belmont, Ohio, Marshall counties, and also parts of Monroe and Jefferson. Epic Restoration caters to everybody. Any job, big or small, they're all important to Epic Restoration. So take it from Bloom Daddy. I know these guys. They're from the Valley. They care about the Valley. So when you experience one of your worst moments when it comes to damage, let my guys at Epic Restoration in Martins Ferry take care of it for you.
Relationships can be difficult. Knowing your rights before papers are filed is crucial to protecting children and marital assets. Hiring the right lawyer can make the difference. Licensed in Ohio and West Virginia, McCardle Law Office knows how to navigate complex and emotionally charged family law cases on both sides of the river. Let McCardle Law Office, located at 2139 Marcus Street in Wheeling, use its 25 years of experience to assist you. They use old-fashioned values to produce the right results.
As the challenges of the pandemic continue, families living in poverty are facing fears. They're afraid of hunger. They're afraid of eviction. But they're not afraid of hard work. When even two jobs aren't enough, they find a way to keep going for their families. But when you give to the Salvation Army, you help their hopes outpace their fears. Hi, I'm Greg Marquardt, Advisory Board Member of the Salvation Army. Would you consider donating time and resources this year? If you or a group you are a part of could help the Salvation Army by ringing bells this year, you are helping those who need a shoulder to stand on this Christmas. Call 304-233-4400 to donate time or resources. That's 304-233-4400.
iHeartMedia Wheeling is proud to support the Salvation Army.
These days, it seems like we're paying more for everything, especially prescription drugs. Americans pay three times more than everyone else in the world for the same medications. West Virginians have had enough. Now, there's a plan in Congress to level the playing field. The Build Back Better Act lets Medicare negotiate lower drug prices. The big drug companies are panicking, spending millions on lies and scare tactics so they can keep raking in record profits. Thankfully, Senator Joe Manchin isn't buying their bull. He's standing up for West Virginia patients.
It makes no sense at all that we don't go out and negotiate. The VA does a tremendous job. Medicaid does it. Why doesn't Medicare?
West Virginians know Joe Manchin does what's best for our state. He supports Medicare negotiation, and we're counting on him to support the Build Back Better Act. It might be our last chance to get this done and our best chance to lower prices for West Virginia. Paid for by Patients for Affordable Drugs Now.
What's the big deal,
Where can you get pizza, bread twists, specialty chicken, and more for just $5.99 each?
Is it at Domino's?
He hands off hand-tossed pizza and a marble cookie brownie. He's going, going, going!
There's a lot of variety on the radio and at Domino's, too, where you can...
Two-item minimum. Pan pizza, bone-in wings, and bread bowls will be extra. Ask for this limited-time offer. Prices, participation, delivery area, and charges may vary.
Bloom Daddy.
Before I get to my birthday, now I realize why I haven't had Dr. Mina Bose on for quite some time. I mean, come on.
Wackadoodle.
It's a good thing my mic was turned off.
I got this from Andrea. This woman's a lying, deny, idiot. Degrees mean nothing. I'm smarter than her, for God's sake, or at least rational. I got Mike. I'm not going to read some of the responses here, but I mean, well, there you go. Liberal professor. So,
well, that's what I said.
There you have it.
College professor. I had two words.
Is it somebody's birthday today?
It is, and I think you need to go to the phone line.
Who is it?
You guys just go.
Is it my mother?
Just go.
You're on with Bloom Daddy.
Bloom Daddy, it's Bauer from NBC News Radio.
What's up, Mike?
I understand happy birthday orders are indeed in need here, but I understand that you might be a little confused about how old you are. Is that correct?
I'm not confused. Otis was confused.
I hear that you might be. So I came up with a couple questions just to help me and Otis and maybe others determine exactly how old you are. Did you ever have a pager, Bloom Daddy?
I did not.
You never had a pager?
Nope. Nope.
Okay, you're lucky he has a cell phone.
I had a Walkman.
Did you ever have a
I had a Walkman, yes.
Ooh, okay. So we can date back a little bit more with cassettes. We understand the cassettes were part of your life.
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever have a PDA? Do you remember those, the personal digital assistant?
I thought that was a venereal disease. I was going to say, I think so. I think that's what that penicillin shot was for.
96. Yeah. No, a Palm Pilot. Do you ever have a Palm Pilot? Remember those things, a Palm Pilot?
I do remember them. I didn't have them. You know, when it comes to technology, I'm at the end of the rainbow, buddy.
Are you? Okay.
And he has a lot of rainbows.
Say that again, Mike.
Did you ever have to put a quarter in a phone to make a phone call or a dime in a phone to make a phone call and a payphone?
Absolutely. Yes. Yes.
Right. I believe we're looking at somewhere over the age of 50 is what I'm going to label Daddy at right now.
Yeah.
It may just be 50, but I'm going to say it's over the age of 50 based upon the answers to those questions.
I'll give you an idea of how old I am. I used to have a box of buckskin condoms.
Well, I'm glad you founded the country for us, Bloom Daddy. That's fantastic, and glad you're still here to celebrate it with us.
I am 52. Otis is trying to convince me I'm 53.
52. I thought you were 2 years younger than me.
Congratulations, man.
Yeah, yeah. Well, congratulations on what? One day closer to death? Thanks. Appreciate it.
On living this long, on being able to tell your kids, yeah, well, let me tell you about something else that existed way before you were born that nobody uses anymore.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, so many things. That'd be a great Friday topic.
It's actually what...
I actually had a conversation. My 7-year-old found an old VHS tape of me doing stand-up comedy, and she just held it up and said, Dad, what is this?
Yeah.
And I'm like, there's so many different levels, because I don't even have anything to play that on right now. I couldn't even show her if I wanted to how a VHS tape worked, but that kind of technology still sits around my household, too.
All right. Well, Mike, go ahead.
How about a rotary dial telephone that was attached to the wall that didn't have call waiting?
With a long cord so you could go out into the garage and have a semi-private conversation.
Right.
Yeah, get away from grandma so you could talk dirty to your girlfriend. Mike, thank you, buddy. Appreciate the call.
You got a happy birthday, Bloom Daddy. Enjoy.
All right, thank you very much. That is Michael Bauer. We should just have Mike on talking about just stuff like that instead of politics. All right, I got my last birthday gift from you.
Yep.
So I have a Stan Musial baseball card. Yep, I have a Carl Yastrzemski baseball card. My last one, this has got to be Don Mattingly. I mean, you know I'm a Don Mattingly fan.
I'm going to show you
another
a picture.
Stan Musial.
Well, I'm going to show you a picture of what it is.
Okay. What do you mean? It's Stan Musial swinging a bat. Okay. I see the pictures here.
It's all 6 cards. It was a set put out last year by Topps commemorating his 100th birthday.
Sweet. So I have 2 of the 6.
You have all 6 of the 6 by there.
Oh, they're in here?
Yeah.
How about that? And here I thought he always hated me. Thank you, Otis. Mm-hmm. And thank you, Elgin, for my T-shirts, and especially the one that says, what is it, Brandon?
Let's go, Brandon.
Yeah, I'll have that on after the show. Hey, I'm out of here. See you tomorrow. Same time, same place.
The revolution will be streaming.
Say you want a revolution.
At News Radio 1170.